Well, we live in a world which just can't seem to stop talking and thinking about money. A few years ago, when house prices were going through the roof, discussion at dinner parties were always about how much our house is now worth. Sizable windfalls were to be made as building societies demutualised. Anybody seemed to be able to borrow any amount of money for anything. And funds were strongly on the up in the stock market. It seemed we'd never had it so good. But now, well, the financial scene seems rather different. The credit crunch, the global financial crisis, and now the R word, recession, are well and truly with us. Now, if you watch the news and read the newspapers, it seems like we're facing a terrible tragedy. That which has been our confidence seems to be letting us down. Well, as we turn to our gospel reading this morning, and the next parable in this series on Jesus' parables, we find a story which has a very contemporary ring to it. It's Luke chapter 12. You'll find it on page 1049. Page 1049. Jesus comes across a man in a squabble with his brother. And the problem is about money. Now, we've all seen this sort of thing, I'm sure. A family comes into some money from a relative, but they just cannot decide and agree how they're going to divide it up. And it leads to much conflict. Well, Jesus, as so often, cuts to the heart of the issue. He's less concerned with the family argument about cash as he is about people and their relationship to God. And Jesus' message seems to be, don't live as if God isn't there. Now, you may remember Jesus' hard-hitting story. If he was telling it today, it might go something like this. There was a man. He came from a humble background. He grew up on a council estate, had very few privileges in his childhood. He left school and he got a job as an office clerk and a tea boy for a big multinational corporation. He put in a lot of effort and slowly but surely he worked his way up before eventually he was made chief executive. Well, here he was in his mid-50s and he was on top of the world. A lovely mansion in the country, several acres of land and a Rolls Royce in the garage. His children went to the best schools and his wife was a leading light in the country club. He was very clever with his money and had made a good extra amount by sound investment on the stock market. And to put the icing on the cake, he had decided to retire early. All his friends congratulated him. What a wise man you are. Get out while the going's good. Take it easy. You deserve it. Enjoy all that you've worked for. Well, the man had a retirement party. And as his friends were leaving, he sat down on his garden chair with his feet up, sipping some bubbly. As the sun went down over the roof of his house, he said to himself, you have everything you could have ever wanted. You can be financially secure for the rest of your life. Relax, eat, drink, and suddenly there was a pain in his chest. Before the ambulance drew up along the long gravel drive, he was dead. Jesus said, that is how it will be with the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Well, that is frankly a pretty shocking story, isn't it? And as we hear, we might think to ourselves, well, he's rich, it's not about me. But actually, of course, it is a story that we all need to hear, for it's really about people like us and our attitude to possessions, and more importantly still, our attitude to God. So what is going on in the story? Well, the man's big problem was that he was someone who lived as if God wasn't there. And living that way led him to make several mistakes. What Jesus shows us is that if we live as if God is not there, we will forget that actually it is God who has given us everything in the first place. In Jesus' story, the man was a farmer who did very well and became rich and then suddenly died. And Jesus says in verse 16, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And that's a reminder that for all our hard work, we are actually dependent on God. It is him who gives us everything we need. The farmer got rich because the land was good. And we have so much that is good because it is God who has given it to us. God is the one who gives us wealth and food and clothing and shelter and everything else. Well, the man in verse 17, thought to himself, "What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops." He's aware of his wealth. He thinks, "What shall I do now?" Well, when he sees how much the business had made him, because he lives as if God is not there, he doesn't think of thanking the one who has given him all that he has, God. Rather, he thinks of how he can gain even more wealth. Now, of course, the truth is that we all have so much, even those of us who are relatively poor by this country's standards. So we can thank God for all that he gives to us, for that which has enabled us to live comfortably, for a safety net if we aren't in work or are in need below a certain level, for our food, for our shelter, for those things that we enjoy in life. Well, you see, this man in the story lived as if God wasn't there, and so he didn't thank him. But there was another mistake that he made, and that was that he got trapped in his selfishness. The man said to himself, verse 17, "What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops." And he said, "I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And then I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry." You see, if we live as if God isn't there, we may well centre our lives just on ourselves, what I own, or what I would like to own. Jesus started his story with a big clue as to what the parable is about. Verse 15, he says, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Now, of course, covetousness is a great danger for all of us. It is the desire to have more and more. It is to live as if life was about how much I have, as if collecting and enjoying possessions and money is the meaning and purpose of life. And it is very tempting in our day and age, for that is how many people live. Watch the television, read a glossy magazine, and it will lead you to think that what we need is more and more. With if only I could get that flat screen TV, if only I could have that holiday, that house, that car, or whatever we think would really improve our lives. We see others with these things and it makes us feel worse. Now, such things are not wrong, but, says Jesus, life, real life, does not consist in the abundance of possessions. And what's more, they don't satisfy us deep down anyway. British tennis fans have been disappointed this week by Andy Murray's early exit from the Australian Open. Three times Wimbledon champion Boris Becker once said this, "I had won Wimbledon twice before, once as the youngest player. I was rich. I had all the material possessions I needed. Money, cars, women, everything. It's the old song of the movie stars. They have everything, and yet they are so unhappy. I had no inner peace. I was a puppet on a string." Now, you probably didn't recognise it, but he was actually realising the truth of Jesus' words here. One's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Now, for the man in this story, his covetousness narrowed his vision to prevent him looking to any higher purpose for the wealth that God had given to him. So he says to himself, "What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops." And he said, "I will do this. I'll tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods." He decides simply to try and make more for himself. Well, it is interesting, I think, that Jesus goes on after the parable, after what we read, to teach the disciples that instead of anxiously looking to gain the things that this world longs for, his people should, in the words of verse 31, seek God's kingdom and all these things will be added to you. You see, that is the true purpose of life, living to see God's loving rule forwarded. And it's a reminder that when we think of our resources, we should ask, how can we use them to benefit the cause of God in this world? How can I invest what God has given me to serve others? How can I promote the cause of the good news? In a world where resources are so often lacking for the work of the kingdom of God, those that we have are important that we share them. And indeed, looking to be generous can help us overcome the temptation of covetousness. Well, the man in the story then lived as if God wasn't there. He didn't thank God, and he got trapped in his covetous selfishness. But there was another mistake that the man made, and this was the worst of all. He lived as if God wasn't there today, and he lived as if God wasn't ever going to be there. After him saying that he's going to just make bigger storerooms for his wealth, Jesus has the man saying, verse 19, "And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry." He lived for himself, but he also just lived for now with no thought for the future. He thinks he has many years to live, many years of pleasure, and then something happens. But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you." You see, our lives belong to God. They're on loan from him. And there comes a time in everyone's life when that loan period comes to an end. God said to the man in the story, "This very night your soul is required of you." In other words, your earthly life is over and you will face me. And Jesus adds, verse 21, "So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." So how will God speak to us when our life's loan period is ended? Is he likely to say, "Fool," to us? Because we've tried to live now as if he wasn't there and lived as if he was never going to be there, despite all the things that he has done for us, all the ways that he has shown himself to us. Well, you know, as we read Jesus' story, we should understand that we are actually all those who give in to valuing things more than God. We are all those who store up treasures on earth more than being rich towards God. So is there any hope? Well, the things that we own on earth won't help us one bit. As God says to the man, "And the things that you have prepared, whose will they be?" We often say, don't we, "You can't take it with you. And it won't do you any good, even if you could." Well, Jesus tells us a bit later in Luke's Gospel that he had come to seek and to save the lost. That is, he came to rescue those who know that they're failures when it comes to loving God with all that they are. Those who fail to put God before what they own or want, but want to and know that they should. When Jesus died on the cross and rose again, as we remember as we share communion this morning, he made it possible to be forgiven and accepted by God and to have our lives changed so that we can have strength to enjoy the real purpose of life. That is to know him, to be rich towards him, to be involved with him in the adventure of his loving purposes in the world. So Jesus' parable of the rich fool is designed to warn us not to give in to greed and covetousness. And it is a timely reminder in today's money-mad world. Don't live as if God is not there, not thanking him and being trapped in selfishness. And most importantly of all, don't live as if God is not there and will not be there. Don't be a fool at the end of your life, laying up treasure just for yourself and not being rich towards God. Let's pray.